All right, on this episode of Bouks Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set for a very consequential middleweight matchup at Bellator 293, which goes down on March the 31st. We've got John Salter and Aaron Jeffrey getting out there to test skills, and always good getting to have Aaron on the show. How's your day going, Aaron?
I'm good, man. How's your day going?
It's going pretty good. Can't complain, but like I said, I mean, seems like, you know, very consequential fight here, but just feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't address the, you know, 2022 campaign. I saw you had the post a bit over a couple months ago now talking about going 3-0 and looking to make 2023 even better. Like, what in a specific way does that mean? Like, what does that represent to you? Like, how could 2023 be better as far as goals you might have?
Well, I want to fight at least three times again this year. So if I can get three fights and three wins again, that'll be perfect. And I mean, every fight is bigger than the last one. So we're breaking into the top five here. So the next few fights will be very big ones for me.
Yeah, and a lot of present and also future topics to, you know, get into for sure. But just, I mean, I guess from my perspective, even, I would feel like that would have to rank as one of the best, if not best, career years you've had, just considering the CFFC defense and, you know, leaving the promotion as champion and, you know, really asserting yourself into the Bellator fold. Like, is this, you know, the best year of your career, like 2022 I'm talking about?
For sure. Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Like, finally getting signed to one of the big promotions, getting a debut win, and then beating a guy in the top 10 in just my second fight. It was definitely a big year.
Yeah, and what were the thoughts when this particular bout offer came your way? Because obviously a guy who very much is tenured within the division, and as you were just saying, presents an opportunity to, you know, like, encroach into that top five, being that you're number seven and he's number three. So I imagine the temperament was a good one, but, like, what were you feeling when the bout offer initially came your way for Salter?
Yeah, it was pumped, man. I mean, I would have been pumped with pretty much anyone in the top 10. Again, they're all big fights when you're at this level. But him being ranked above me is big, obviously. It means I can climb up the ladder. And stylistically, I just think it's a really good matchup for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, hopefully you're able to climb the rankings there. It seemed like a curious update last time out where it looked like the guy you last finished was over you in the rankings. Is that just kind of something you kind of, like, have a laugh at a little bit? Just, I mean, no disrespect to Austin Vanderford, obviously a great fighter, but it is objectively quite strange just how emphatic your performance was and the fact he's a spot over you. Is that something you think of at all, or just inconsequential, largely?
Yeah, it's definitely inconsequential, but no, it's funny. Like you said, I just kind of had a laugh at it, made a funny Instagram post, but it doesn't really matter at this point. Again, I'm fighting number three, so if I'm number six or number seven, it doesn't matter, because hopefully I'm going to be number three after this one.
Yeah, and I mean, what do you, I guess, see in John Salter in terms of, like, the specific X's and O's? Like, I mentioned that he previously contended for the title, and his last two fights he's fought, you know, the previous two champions at 185, and it seems like his wrestling is, like, a facet of his game many people kind of look at, really just the submission grappling overall. But in your estimation, like, what are some of his better stylistic attributes?
For sure. Yeah, you said it right there. He's a good wrestler, he's a good submission grappler. That's definitely his strong suit. Like, without disrespecting him, I think he's maybe, like, a little bit one-dimensional. I don't think he's super comfortable on the feet. I think he pretty much just looks to grapple and only grapple. So I'm going to try and shut that down and implement my game plan.
That's kind of interesting, because when I was talking to John Salter, he sort of pretty much laid out the same thing, just in the inverse, though, where he was saying that maybe it would be a fight that you would want to be oriented to that kickboxing range more so, and based on what you're saying, that seems to be the case.
Yeah, but I'm pretty confident in my grappling as well. I think my defensive grappling is one of the strongest attributes in my game, so if he wants to shoot at my hips and be underneath me, I think I can win that battle too.
Yeah, and when I talked to him, I feel like I maybe didn't articulate the question well. I think maybe he thought that I was intimating that maybe he was one-dimensional, but just, like, looking at the wrestling-specific games both of you have, like, I would think it would be a tremendously exciting and technical fight just to see you guys, like, you know, jockey for position and, you know, test wrestling skills. Like, obviously, you're gonna, you know, bring the fight to, like, the most comfortable, ideal range, but just, like, the wrestling games both of you have, I think, could lead to some interesting exchanges, possibly.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Again, I think my defensive grappling, like my anti-wrestling, if you will, is one of the strongest parts of my game. So, I would love to test that against him.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of curious because it seems like Killcliff FC has been like the main space you've been working at, but also historically known you to get and work at Niagara Top Team, like when you're in Canada. Like, where have you mostly been at ahead of this fight?
I was down at Killcliff for 6 weeks, and I think I came back home with 4 weeks left in camp, so maybe 4 or 5 weeks. So pretty much half and half between Killcliff and NTT.
And who are some of the middleweight bodies you were working with at NTT ahead of this one?
At NTT or at Killcliff?
Yeah, NTT specifically, yeah.
I don't even think I have any middleweights, really. That's kind of why I go down south, is to get, like, bigger bodies and really hard rounds and everything. But here at NTT, I got a lot of guys. I got Mike Malott, who's UFC welterweight. Clayton Pye, who's an Olympic-level wrestler. He fought some amateur fights at middleweight, but he's down at 170 now. I got Bobby Poulter, another good 170. I got my good buddy Kevin Popowick, who's a 55er, but he's a big boy and gives me good work. So I got a solid crew up here too.
Probably some, like, speed benefits with that kind of work, though. Like you said, you're getting the, you know, I guess more middleweight specific work at Killcliff, but I would think there'd be some speed benefit working with, you know, guys like that who are, like, a touch smaller, I guess.
For sure, yeah. These guys are fast. They pose different problems for sure. Another guy that I have here, Luke Roberts, who's a 155er. He's pro. He just got his black belt. He's an elite grappler, and I did a lot of grappling rounds with him before this one. He's very fast in the grappling, so he's a good round too.
Yeah, a lot of great work all around. But I mean, in talking about lower weight categories, I saw you had a throwback pick, like, around, like, a couple weeks ago of, like, the 170 days, like, circa 2015. I'm kind of curious because, I mean, you seem like a bigger middleweight. Like, how did you, I guess, navigate the 170 cut? I mean, it's been a little while since then, obviously, but just curious to ask because of the throwback, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a decent-sized middleweight in size, but on the scale, I'm not that heavy. Like, I was 199 this morning, so middleweight's a pretty easy cut for me. I could probably still make welterweight if I really wanted to. I really don't want to do that anymore because it was many weeks of, like, dieting and starving and then, like, a shitty water cut, so it wasn't fun.
Yeah, you just seem, like, more, I guess, replenished, like, at 185. Like, not to say you, like you said, couldn't necessarily make it back to 170, but maybe it'd be like a diminishing returns kind of thing. Like, maybe the attributes lend themselves better to being, like, fully hydrated at 185, or at least more hydrated relatively.
For sure, and just having a proper training camp. Like, a lot of guys that are cutting tons of weight, like, the last few weeks, it's all about losing weight, and your training starts to suffer, you don't have any energy. So at 85, I can stay fully fueled all through camp and continue to train hard and feel good.
Yeah, I love hearing that, man. And I was asking you ahead of the Vanderford fight in one of the media days there, like, if you were gonna be having, like, some family in attendance, and it seems like your girlfriend is a very regular, you know, part of all of that. Is she gonna be at this next one as well?
Yep, she will be. We're flying down together next Tuesday, and then my brother, my sister, and my mom are all coming down as well for fight week.
Oh, that's awesome. That seems to really, I mean, I guess, like, lend itself to what you're doing. Like, I mean, I'm sure you could obviously perform without them there, but it seems to, I guess, offer a certain level of comfort that maybe seems to translate well into the performance. Is that kind of the case? I mean, obviously you want to have the family around in general, but is there some level of composure benefit, I suppose?
I don't know if I think about it too much. Well, I mean, I definitely don't think about it during the fight. It doesn't really cross my mind, but I'll get to see them before the fight, which is nice. And then, like after the fight, it's the best feeling in the world to go out there and get a win and then be able to like sit down and relax and enjoy time with your family. So I'm always pumped when they're there for that.
Yeah, for sure. I love to hear that and glad that they're going to be coming down for this one. I mean, it definitely is a big fight, and I mean, you're very focused on it for sure and not overlooking the immediate task. But I mean, we're talking in a lot of instances about how you would then become like a top five guy in the division. Like, who do you think could resemble, I guess, a next step thereafter, just kind of looking at the lay of the land of the division? Like, do you have any opponent or subsequent opponents in mind if you get your ideal outcome?
Well, title shot's always nice, right? Like, career-wise, to get the belt is huge. Musasi and Edwards are fighting each other soon, though, so I think perhaps one of those guys could be next on the radar.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be right in that mix, though, and everything like that. So, I mean, definitely setting yourself up favorably. But, yeah, I mean, I guess you do strike me also as a guy that'd be down to, I guess, eventually fight whoever. But I guess I didn't know if you had, like, a specific, you know, name in the tank, like, as it were. I mean, just certain guys like Anatoly Tokov and guys like that kind of up there a little bit. But maybe just down to, you know, fight whoever just as long as there's, like, a good ranking opposite their name, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much whoever's in front of me, I got to take these guys out and hopefully get the belt in the near future.
And I did touch on that Killcliff work earlier, and you're working with some, you know, really great guys like Marc-Andre Barriol and Ong La Onsong. Like, just talking about those middleweight bodies we were talking about before, can you speak to the recent work had at, you know, Killcliff and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's sick, man. It's a very high-level gym. There's tons of guys, tons of big guys, which is perfect for me. Those two that you mentioned, Ong and Marc-Andre. I had, like, Gerald Merchart, Derek Brunson. Did a bunch of rounds with Logan Storley. Like, the list goes on. So, yeah, it's a crazy gym, and they're really good people and really welcoming. So, yeah, I love going down there.
But that seems to be the cool part of it as well. Like, obviously, the accolades all those individuals I mentioned have just really speaks volumes, but just seems like there's a great camaraderie and a lot of friendship dynamics. Like, it seems like the group really just uplifts each other, and it seems like there's those strong bonds built pretty quickly and everything there.
For sure. You go to some of these big gyms and there's like some cliques, and it doesn't feel like a team, and guys are just there to like beat the shit out of each other and then go home. But no, Killcliff, it reminds me a lot of NTT in the way that everyone is there for each other, and you spar hard and you beat each other up, but you're helping each other out at the same time.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, maybe in the other dynamic, it's more of like an individual, just pure, I guess, focus on the self, whereas like it's everyone trying to collectively uplift each other. I would think the latter is more, you know, beneficial and stuff like that.
For sure, man. Your teammates get better and then you get better.
And obviously not like naming any particular gym names, but is that kind of born out of anecdotal experience? Like maybe having been to like a bigger kind of name gym and it being that like click oriented kind of experience you were mentioning, or just more things you've heard from other fighters kind of thing as well?
No, it's more things I've heard from other fighters. Like I know some guys that train at a couple of other big gyms, and yeah, that's what I've heard. It's kind of like guys will go in on their own time, sparring days, like people are getting knocked out, people are getting hurt. So I mean, I'm sure you can definitely get better that way, and obviously those gyms are very high level guys, but I enjoy the team atmosphere more.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like if I was in your situation, I'd be inclined to, you know, want to go that route as well. But just curious about some of the, I guess, I mean, not relatively recent, I guess it's been a little bit, but I saw you had a website up and it looks like you're getting some merch going and stuff like that. How's that whole experience been going so far? How's that endeavor been?
Yeah, man, it's cool. I really didn't expect any of this stuff to take off as much as it did. Like we released the first mullet shirt like almost 2 years ago now, and like it was a huge hit, and I think we sold like probably close to 1,000 shirts or maybe even more. And then every time we release a new design, it becomes a big hit. People love it. So yeah, it's been cool.
yeah, for sure. It seems like there's a lot of support in that regard. I feel like that whole thing has really, I guess, taken off for sure. Just the whole like mullet thing. Like it seems like anytime someone has an MMA fight and has a mullet, you're getting tagged on social media from what I can tell. So it seems like the branding is pretty on point.
For sure. It's become my whole personality.
I was going to say, yeah, it was kind of an interesting sort of thing because like you always had the, I guess, like, you know, skill set that was very evident, but I guess kind of MMA is a curiosity in that regard. Like, it's almost like you need like a persona element, or at the very least it can like help what you're doing. Like, I guess, what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you find it kind of, I guess, like silly in a way? Like, I mean, I guess you've always struck me as a guy that's very oriented to the athleticism, competitive aspects of the sport. Like, does it strike you as like kind of silly almost? Or I guess, how would you describe that whole thing? Because, I mean, like I was saying, it's like you've always been evidently a talented guy, but it's like seems like the awareness really started taking off with like the persona minded kind of thing.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, man. I mean, like right now it's working out for me because I have a look, and like even just today Bellator made a post, I think it was Fear the Mullet or something, so obviously that's working, and then there's all the merch and stuff, so it's cool, and now it's benefiting me. But I mean, it sucks that our sport is not really just a sport anymore. It's entertainment, and guys are in it because they're athletes, and now they need to learn to also be like actors or showmen at the same time, and that's not who we are. And then a lot of guys can kind of jump the ladder. They get these big contracts, and it's not because they're the best fighters. It's because they're the best shit talkers or best actors or showmen or whatever it is. So it's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I almost kind of like play into the problem sometimes because, like, I mean, I feel like the obvious thing with you is to eventually sell some big, like, hair versus hair match, or maybe that's the way to get the title. Maybe it's like a hair versus title match and you'll go the full pro wrestling route. But I definitely agree with what you're saying, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all about money ultimately, right? So if that's the shit that sells and it makes the promotions money, and then in turn it makes the fighters money, I mean, who am I to say it's dumb? Money talks.
Yeah, and it's also good that your girlfriend has historically always helped out with the mullet too, so good you're getting that assistance.
Yep, it's nice to have a hairdresser on hand all the time.
But it's always good getting to talk to you, man. Like I was saying at the top, though, I do want to be mindful of your time and schedule, though. So to that point, is there any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Not really. I mean, everyone can check me out on social media at AAJMMA, and then if you want to check out the merch, go to the link in my bio on Instagram and check out some mullet merch.
Yeah, for sure, and it's going to be a great fight. Definitely was excited for it before talking to you, but, you know, compounded that much more so, and yeah, very much looking forward to March 31st, and thanks for providing some insights ahead of this John Salter fight, man, and yeah, you just have a good rest of your day too, man.
Thank you, man. You too.